We're reading from Psalm chapter 122, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you and be secure, may their peace be within your walls, and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
We've got a really good number of visitors here this morning, and that's great. You guys are doing a good job of asking people to come, bringing people. I know quite a few people in the audience that you're here because, as a result of that, and we're glad you're here. And you guys that are inviting folks and bringing folks, doing a great job. Just keep it up. Glad to have everyone who is here. And as Bill said earlier, if there are any questions, if you have any questions whatsoever about anything we do, we'd love to talk with you about it. So please feel free to ask. This morning we're going to kind of talk about going to church. We're going to talk about the church as our spiritual lifeline. And there we go. As we get into the lesson this morning, let's ask a question. And I'd like to have, I really want to have everyone's attention for this question. I want you to reflect upon it. You'll notice how I asked the question this morning. Why are you here at church this morning? Why do you go to church? I'd like for you to think about that. I'd like for you to reflect upon the reason you're here. Now, I realize there are different reasons why people come. We're going to explore some of those. We'll ask that during the lesson. You may also notice that I asked that question. In fact, I asked very related questions in the bulletin this morning. Because I'd like for you to do a little soul searching and ask yourself the reason you come to church. What is the point? Why are you here? What do you want out of it? What do you hope to get out of it? And so let's ask that and explore it a little bit this morning. I believe that church is our spiritual lifeline. In fact, I'm convinced that there is no spiritual life without church. I know that that's not believed by everyone, and maybe not everyone in this group would agree with that. But my own personal experience, at least, and what I also believe the Bible teaches, is that you can't have a spiritual life without having a direct tie to the Lord's church, without being part of it, without being engaged in it, and by making it a very real part of your life. So we're going to explore that this morning as we ask the question, why do you go to church? When you're here, what do you hope to get out of it? I mean, you come to church, a lot of us here, very familiar faces, you look around the room. You might be visiting for the first time, and you might think, man, what a weird sermon, what a weird preacher. Well, that's fine, you know. But most of us are very familiar faces to each other. We're here. Each Sunday morning, we pretty much expect we'll see the same faces and so forth. What do you personally hope to get out of it? When you get up to come to church, when you make it a point to be here, what are you hoping that you get out of it? A number of things have already been said. If you think about it, what's already been said so far in the lesson this morning, in the talk before the Lord's Supper, some of the things that James was saying just a few minutes ago, especially about the children's classes downstairs, those all point at reasons why we'd be here and why we would want to be here. But I still want to make this more personal. What do you hope to get out of being here at church? This morning, what do you want to get? I mean, what do you hope to leave from this place, and then on a regular basis? Now, finally, do you believe there are real advantages to going to church? Do you think you get something, some beneficial help out of being here? And let's just say that you're here for the first time this morning. You've never been here before. I don't know if there's anyone in this room that is the case. But let's say that you are. Would there be a real advantage in life to becoming part of a church? And we might even be more pointed to becoming part of this church. Or let me put it another way. If you're, like Bill Jones said a moment ago, if you're handing a card to someone, what do you hope happens with this card? Well, in very short terms, what you hope happens is that these people, somebody gets this card at a post office bill or wherever, somebody gets this card, goes to the website, and looks it up, sees this video or two videos that we have on there. They listen to it. They say, you know, I'd like to look at this a little further. And so they register to maybe take the online correspondence course, or they email and say to me or someone else, I want to study. I'd like to get together and study the Bible. Or I'd like to study the Bible online. You know, we both have Skype. We'll sign up. We'll sit in front of a computer and we'll talk about it. You know, Wes and I do that on a weekly basis with people. So that can happen. We hope that happens. But eventually, what we hope happens is that somebody that picked up a card somewhere is actually going to be part of this church. Now, I would envision a day when such an individual would be sitting where you are. Now they're here, and they're contemplating going to church, maybe for the first time in their life. They're going to be part of a church, this church. They're going to come here on a regular basis. What do you think the real advantages are to being part of church? Does it help you to go to church? Is it just something you do? It doesn't really matter one way or the other. Well, I want to suggest several answers, and I'm going to approach this from a couple of different ways this morning. Nothing elaborate, nothing real in-depth, won't take a long time. But let's start by saying this. Does it help people to go to church? Well, I found it interesting as I was looking online this week at a number of different surveys. I'll put them up at the end, but I mean surveys that are conducted by everybody from Gallup, you know, the Gallup poll, to the Center for Disease Control out of Atlanta. I mean, and all points in between, so to speak. And I kind of made a composite list, not exhaustive, I promise you, but a composite list of all 12 to 15 things that the experts tell us, or at least the statistics tell us, are an advantage to going to church. And I found this very interesting. Some of them, I've seen a lot of these before and so forth. But as you get into these things and you read them, some of them are really interesting as you talk about what difference does it make in a person's life for just going to church. Now, I want you to understand that everything I'm going to put up here, and you need to understand this, everything I'm going to put up here are the advantages that come to those who regularly go to church. This is not those, you know, these things are taken for everybody, and one of the questions they ask them is, how often do you go to church, how much do you go to church, et cetera, et cetera. All the statistics I'm going to put up here are from regular churchgoers. These are people that are there every week, all the time, regular churchgoers. Did you know that on the average, regular churchgoers live about 8 years longer? That's about a 10% increase in life just by going to church. If a person goes to church regularly, he lives about 8 years longer than those who don't go to church. And that's probably because of things like this. People that are regular church goers use significantly less alcohol, tobacco, drugs. It doesn't mean that nobody that ever goes to church smokes, or no one that ever goes to church drinks or takes drugs. They do. But regular church goers, I don't know why I keep saying growers, but goers use significantly less than those who don't go to church. I think we can understand that. They have a dramatically lower risk of suicide. It doesn't mean they don't have problems. It doesn't mean they don't think about suicide. It doesn't mean that there is never anything serious enough that would prompt suicide. But if they're regularly going to church, chances are great they believe they're responsible, they're accountable to God. And I can easily see that being a deterrent to suicide. Did you know that regular churchgoers tend to rebound from depression on the average about 70% faster? Doesn't mean they don't have problems. Doesn't mean they don't get depressed. But they have help. And they have divine help. And they have help from people. And so they rebound about 70% faster. They have a dramatically lower risk of committing a crime. We would figure that. Again, we sometimes see members of the church. People sometimes see members of the church get arrested for a crime. It's talked about. And you know, I think one of the reasons why it is talked about so much is because it's an aberration. I remember several years ago, this is before Montel and I even married, back in Alabama, must have been 20 years ago, a guy who had been the treasurer of one of the local churches forever and ever. It turned out that he had embezzled over the course of a long period of time in his life. He had embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars, pilfering just a little bit of cash each week. And he got caught. And it was a story that broke. It broke on the evening news. It broke, of course, all members of the church heard it, you know, through the grapevine before it broke. And everybody was talking about it there for a while. Why? Because you don't normally hear that. Most of the time, church-going people obey the law. They don't commit crimes. They're not arrested. And if they are, it's an aberration. Do you know that church-going people have a better attitude, generally speaking, if they're regular church-goers? They generally have a better attitude at school and work. And they have a greater level of participation and success. Their grades are better. Their promotions are better, etc. Let me put up a couple of other things. They have a significantly lower level of rebelliousness. Generally speaking, they believe in authority. That's why they go to church. They believe in the authority of God. It translates into a belief in the authority of the government, etc. They have a significantly lower tendency to binge drink. For those of you that are parents and you're worried about your kids growing up and someday they're going to go off to college and they're going to be in college and they're going to be in an environment where right now drinking, binge drinking, and if you know that term, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That whole party lifestyle is a very real temptation to everyone. Regular church-going people, and even young people, there's a significantly lower tendency to do that. And then when they enter into adulthood, to live that party lifestyle. In other words, there are just other things in life that fulfill their lives. They have a much higher tendency to enjoy a very happy life. Now, the questions, and I saw these, and they're very simple on these polls. They just ask them. They ask them questions like, first of all, do you go to church regularly? How much? What day? You know, Sunday, Wednesday, all of that kind of thing. But then they ask them a very simple question. Are you happy? On a scale of whatever to whatever, are you happy? Would you consider yourself to be not very happy? Would you consider yourself to be happy? Would you consider yourself to be very happy? Those that go to the church the most tend to be the people that answer the question, I'm very happy. Regardless, interestingly enough, if you dig into some of these surveys, regardless of what's going on elsewhere in their life. And I found that interesting as well. There would be people, for example, who had just lost a loved one who would still answer the question, they're very happy. Now that's interesting. And you might want to look up some of that yourself and dig into those studies a little bit. But they enjoy a more secure moral code. They ask questions, for example, of people, do you believe in this? Do you believe in doing that? And why? And obviously, church-going people have a very secure moral code. No, I don't believe in lying. Why? Because God says it's wrong. No, I don't believe in cheating on tests. Why? Because God says it's wrong, etc., etc. They tend to provide their children with a caring, extended family. Generally speaking, it is church-going people that are the parents they should be with the children, you know, raising children in the way they should be raising them. And the children and the parents are both saying, yeah, I have a secure family, we love each other, etc., etc. They have a significantly reduced rate of divorce and broken homes, and that would go, obviously, with the preceding question. And there are a number of the studies that I took some of this stuff from. Now, go back to the question, why do you go to church? If it were just for that list of reasons, if someone came to me at some point in my life and said, Michael, would you like to be part of church? I don't know if I would or I would not be. I remember studying with Dale, and I remember one of the first things that I said to Dale was, if I believed in God, and I don't, but if I believed in God and I believed in the Bible, I tell you what my problem would be with it is that all the Bible is you can't do this and you can't do that. And you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. And I don't want anybody telling me what I've got to do. And that's where I was. And I know that's where some people are. But if someone said to me, especially after I grew up a little bit, and if I was in my early 20s and I'd never obeyed the gospel, never become a Christian, and someone laid this out to me and said, do you know if you just regularly go to church, that this will tend to be what your life is like? And I look back at This list of things we put up here, that's not a bad deal. I mean, really. If that's pretty much what I could expect out of life for just going to church on a regular basis, I'd say that's a pretty good deal. If that's all there was, and of course there's not. In fact, the way Paul said it in 1 Timothy 4 is that it has the promise of the life that now is. And that's what this is talking about. And of the life to come. Well, let's go a little bit further. All of those things are not necessarily why you go to church. And that's really what I want to hit at this morning. Why am I, Michael White, here at church? The person might say, well, it's your job to be here. Well, that may be right. But I could walk away. I could quit. Why do I go to church? Why do you go to church? Christians, I believe, know that their spiritual lifeline is found in the Lord's church. That's why I call the lesson what I did. When I say lifeline, I mean that thing you grab onto for life. If you were falling somewhere, if you were dangling off the side of a building or whatever, and holding on for dear life, someone might throw you a rope, and if you held on to that, it would be your lifeline. If you fell overboard on a ship somewhere, someone might throw you, a line or whatever, it would be your lifeline. We understand that. In a spiritual sense, church is my lifeline. Church is my connection to God. It is the focal point. I love the way Edward put it a little bit ago. If you were listening carefully to what he was saying before the Lord's Supper, he said, the beginning of every week, it's our time to come back to center. And I like that, I really do. It really paints the picture. It points to us and says to us, God has given us this environment, the church, to come together, to start each week. Now that's interesting. It's not at the end of each week, it's at the beginning. This is how we begin our week. Whatever else we're going to do, we come together and we know this is our sanctuary. I'm going to go out here into the world, the big bad world, and all those troubles and trials and temptations, I'm going to have to deal with those. And a lot of times, I'm going to be by myself. Wes was talking about that last Sunday in one of the lessons, how there are times when we are alone. And it comes down to the decisions I am going to make. And things that I'm going to have to choose, you will never know about it. If I choose good, if I choose bad, right or wrong, you'll never know one way or the other, probably. But my lifeline, this is where it focuses. I'm part of the church. Sometimes we say it in our conversation with people. I go to church. What that says to people is, I'm a Christian. I serve God. I obey the laws of God. All those things that we might not say, but we're saying it. I go to church. We tend to say to people, at least in this society, we tend to say to people, more than I am a Christian, people tend to say, I go to church. And what it means is, I'm part of something. That's the most important thing in my life. It is my lifeline. It's where my life focuses. It's what has my attention. It's where I go to find the answers I seek and the help I need. I go to church. Christians go to church because it's what's right to do. It's what they have to do. Now, when I say that, I mean, when you're a kid and mom is saying you're going to church, well, you're going to church because you have to go to church. Maybe some of you younger people, that's why you're here today, because somebody told you you have to. But I'm a grown man, and yet I would still say to you, I have to go. There have been times when I thought about quitting. I'll be honest with you. There have been times when I looked at my life and I said, I don't think church is giving me that much. I don't think I'm getting that much. There have been times when I've looked at it and I've said, I'm not sure it has all the answers or all the help I need. But there was something inside of me that had been built. And it had been built from the Scriptures, my faith in God. It had been built from my time, my experience, that says, I have to. And if I contemplated saying, I'm quitting. I'm going to give all of this up and just do something else, especially when I was younger. I'm just going to give all this up and do something else. There was something inside me that said, no. you have to go. Because that's what I am now. If a person asks me, what are you, Michael White? Yes, I'm a Christian. But I'll tell you something else I am. I am a church goer. And I'll be honest with you. At times when I've not felt as much like a Christian, I haven't been as deeply committed to it, or there were things that distracted me from it, I still was part of the Lord's church. It was my identity, and it still is. I'm a church-going person. That's just the truth. And it is and has been my lifeline. And so, you know, the thing that I put up here last, if you ask me the question, is it really what you want to do? I mean, sure, you're the preacher and you're locked into it and all of that kind of thing. Is going to church really what you want to do? It really is. When I'm away on vacation and it's hard to get to services somewhere, and I'm scrambling around trying to find a place, or maybe somebody's moved and I don't know their new address and all of that kind of thing, there's something that starts gnawing at me inside. You have to be in church. You really want to be. If I miss for some reason, and I don't miss much, you know. In fact, I would, but it might sound like bragging how much I don't miss, but the point is I don't miss much. But if I did, it'd feel wrong. And I know that many of you are sitting there and you know exactly what I mean. If you were somewhere else on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and not going to church, you feel totally wrong. And it's not just that you know God says you should go to church and you're not. No, there's something inside you, physically, mentally, emotionally. And something inside of you is saying, this isn't right. I need to be in church. And you understand what I mean if you've been going a long time. It's your spiritual lifeline. I want to revisit a couple of passages. Look at Psalm 122. Kevin read this for us. I'm not going to reread it all. But just notice some of the phrases within this psalm. You can either look up here and see it on the screen, or you turn to it in your Bible and see it. Psalm 122, notice how it says, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now I know David means the temple, but I also know the temple is the church, so we can easily apply this to the Lord's church today. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice verse 4, I want to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord signifies God's authority, and you're giving thanks for it. You're thanking God for directing your life. That's the point there in that psalm. God gives me direction in life. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. A lot of people out there in life that don't have that, but I do. And it's because I'm part of the Lord's church. Notice how David prays in this psalm. This is interesting to me. How David prays for the house of God. May they prosper who love you. Now notice that. He's addressing the temple, the building. He's addressing, if he were in our day and time, the church. And he's saying, may they prosper who love you. Well, is that what God is really saying? Go to church and prosper? Remember that list we put up before? Live longer, live happier, live more secure, etc., etc. May they prosper who love you. Notice, peace be within your walls. Prosperity, again he says, within your palaces. And finally in verse 8, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. I was thinking about this psalm a couple of days ago, and you know, I preached those lessons about the end of time and the day of judgment, and I got to thinking about this psalm in that light and what David was saying. And I was thinking about it like this. Just suppose, I often say it, but let's just suppose for a moment that today is the day. That before I finish preaching, a few minutes from now, the trumpet's going to blow. The shout's going to come. Jesus is coming back. Let's just suppose that. You're sitting here this morning. You're a faithful Christian. You're committed to being here. You would be here no matter what. Nothing is more important to you. Nothing would distract you from coming. You are here. And you would have been here regardless. But let's just suppose that today is the day that was the last opportunity for you to go to church anywhere. How would you feel if you heard the trumpet in a moment? How would you feel inside knowing that you are inside here in this building, one of the faithful people to God? You're a Christian, and Jesus is up there in the air, and you've got to go stand before Him. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be at peace? And would you be at peace as opposed to, let's suppose that this morning you had the opportunity, as I'm sure many of you did, to be somewhere else doing something else, and Jesus came. David said, I will say, peace be within you. There is a peace. I never feel better, and I can tell you that confidently. I never feel better about my spiritual life, about my soul, about my standing with God than I feel, and I can point right to the time, than I feel, you might say, yeah, when you're preaching a sermon. Well, sometimes. But when I'm sitting and my mind is focused on Jesus on the cross and dying for me, and I get to thinking about how much God loved me to do that, how much God cares, how much my Lord cared for me to go through that, to show me how much He cared, I never feel better about myself than then. And I'm sure that's probably the same with many of you. I feel the most spiritual, I feel the most at peace. If God loved me that much, then God is going to save me. Let me ask you a couple of other questions as we quickly reflect on a couple of other things. Psalm 20, notice what David said. You can just read it up here, turn to it. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May you remember all your offerings and accept, and David says, your burnt sacrifice, but to parallel, we give those sacrifices. May you accept your sacrifice. May it grant you according, notice this, to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Why do you live this life? What is your purpose? What is your life about? If your life is about serving God and going to church, being part of the Lord's church, God can fulfill all that. And you will know that security. Finally, in Acts chapter 2, let's consider for a moment some of the things said about the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people obeyed the gospel and the church began. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They're worshiping. They're going to church, if you will, just like we are this morning. I also like the phrase in verse 44, and they were together, or all who believed, it literally says, were together and had all things common. Notice that fellowship, that bond that exists between Christians. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So why do I go to church? Let's summarize as we close the lesson. Why do I go to church? Well, some people might say because I'm following the example of the Bible. The early Christians came together often. They even came together daily. We just saw that. Somebody else might say, Jesus is there. And they focus on their personal relationship with Jesus. And you know it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting the picture the Bible portrays of church, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And I realize that's not the exact context, but it surely applies. When we gather together in the name of Jesus here, certainly Jesus is here. But more pointedly, even about the Lord's Supper. I won't drink it again until I take it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We take the Lord's Supper, Jesus takes the Lord's Supper. I will sing in the midst of the church, Hebrews 2. We sing to God, Jesus sings to God. Somebody says, you know, I want an intimate relationship with Jesus. I want to join together with Him doing what He does. Well, He goes to church. It's as simple as that. I want to spend time with other Christians. Sometimes a person gets up here, last Sunday was a great example. Somebody gets up here to make announcements, and everybody's talking. And if you just stop for a moment and listen, all over the building, people are talking and laughing and so forth and so on. People are enjoying being together. I know we get here together for class on Sunday morning. And as people start coming in, you see them, they see you, smile hits their face. You know you're going to be friendly with each other. Maybe you're going to a little jab here and there, you know, a little joke and all of that kind of thing. But you enjoy it. That's not the case with everybody in the world I meet every day. Is it with you? Sometimes I go to the bank or the grocery store or whatever, somebody's having a bad day, and man, you know, like, lighten up. I didn't do anything. And I mean, I went to the grocery store the other day, and this woman goes off on somebody there at the store and what that person was doing to her, and she went on and on and on. And I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about. But that's the world. And sometimes they get mad and they take it out on you. I want to spend time with other Christians. I want to be with other people who value the things I value and think the way I think. That's a relief. Sometimes people say, well, I come with my parents, you know. And maybe some of you are here this morning because you're being brought up to go to church. And you may not understand that. Why do we have to go to church? Every time the doors are open, there's a reason. Believe me, there's a reason. You can't know it now, but you will one day. Sometimes people were brought up that way, and that's why they're going. One of those statistics that I didn't put up. Obviously, church-going people that go regularly, a great percentage of them were brought up to go to church. So when they get grown, they go to church. And maybe you're a parent and you're sitting here and you're saying, regardless of the way I grew up, I want my children to be brought up that way. You know, some other reasons that people give. Sometimes people will say, and this is very common today. We live in a pretty much broken society. Somebody says, I want to be stronger. I want to be encouraged. I want to be edified. And church is where that should happen and where it does happen. Someone else says, I'd miss a lot if I didn't go. I'd miss taking the Lord's Supper, and it's special. I want to be part of that. And the prayers that are given, and the singing. And sometimes people are baptized, and people make confessions, and I want to hear the requests that people have for prayer. I want to be able to be in an environment to do that, and I want to do that for other people. Sometimes people will give you reasons like this. Well, it's just an opportunity to put Jesus first in my life, and we should be doing that. It's being where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. Or out of consideration for other people. You know, there's a very selfish attitude that exists in this country especially, about going to church. People have the attitude of, what can I get out of it? That's why we have all these mega churches. We won't get sidetracked into that. But if you remember a couple of weeks back when I had that lesson. And it's all about, what programs do you have for me? What can you do for me? You know, Christians have another attitude. What can I do for you? I want to be here for you. I mean, do you ever stop to think, you know, if you don't come to church today, the little encouraging thing you say might be what I need to hear today. The comment you make in class might be what I need to be taught today. We share together. We grow together. God made it. He designed it that way. I want to consider other people. I want to, Philippians 2, put them first. It's a great opportunity to be a good example. It's a great opportunity to be the kind of person that people can point to and follow. It's to show the importance of church. People need to see that. They need to see it's my priority. I can't help people out there if they don't see that it's a priority to me. I mean, I can't say to somebody, you need to go to church, when I don't go to church. It just doesn't work. People will look at me. I wish they'd look at the Bible. I wish they'd listen to the verses that I'm reading together with them about how they need to go. But if I don't go, they're going to look at me and they're going to say, well, you don't go. It's an opportunity for me to show is my priority. And I want to help the church grow. We've got some excitement going on here. This place has a lot of visitors this morning. Take time to take notice of that. This church can grow. And what's important about that is not just that we put more numbers up here on the board. It's not about the numbers. It's about people's lives. It's about helping people and helping ourselves as we grow together. You can be part of that. I hope you want to be part of that. How can you get the most out of going to church? Go. You know? Place membership. Join one local congregation like this one and commit yourself fully to it. Take an active part in what's going on. You know, take advantage of the classes we have, the activities we have, the meetings. Every week in the bulletin, things are announced. up here, when people make announcements, things are announced. Put them down. Write them down. Take notice of them. Be part of them. Now, what's the church doing? How can I be part of it? Ask those questions. Get excited about this church. In today's common language, own it. Make it not just that church, but my church. This is my church. It's what I'm part of. And when it's your church and it's personal to you, you will get involved in it because it's yours. Get excited about the possibilities of what can be done here and about what is happening. You know, for example, like James was talking about, did an excellent job. I don't need to redo that. The new curriculum, the classes that are going on, or the website we have going. And as it grows and as more things are added to it, interaction is now possible on a daily basis. Get involved with that. Interact. The options day, you may have seen it up here. This is something that Wes and I just were talking about the other day. We're going to try on this last Saturday. We'll talk more about that. But we hope to come together for a couple hours on a Saturday and actually go out and pass some flyers and some cards out and get together with a couple of people doing that. And then all of us come back together and discuss what we did, successes we had. You know, like Bill was saying a little bit this morning, I do this. Somebody else says, well, I'm doing that. And you get those ideas, you share them. We're hoping to do that the last Saturday. Mark that down, 9 o'clock, Saturday morning, April the 28th. Actively reach out to other people and bring them in. How can you get the most out of going to church? Be part of it. If you're here this morning, I could go on and on with that, but that's enough. Church is your spiritual lifeline if you're part of it. One of the things that those statistics tell us as we look at them is that people who actively participate, who go to church all the time, and I want you to hear this, you cannot go to church all the time without a change in your life. You can't be part of church, actively involved, doing the things you're supposed to do without a change in your life. None